Join me in prayer, please. Father, this is your world and everything in it. And we just give you the glory for it. We turn over everything to you. I just pray that you would speak to us in our time together this morning through your word. I pray that you continue to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, I preach through the Bible verse by verse, and I'm always amazed when we get to special days like today, like Father's Day, and I'm always amazed with the timing of God. Since I preach verse by verse, I have absolutely no idea how long it's going to take me to get through verses. So when we get to one of these verses that coincide with the celebration of the day, I'm always amazed. And that's where we find ourselves again in Hebrews chapter 11 as we look at verse 33, but I want to read, as we have the past several Sundays, 32 through 35 for context. And the writer of Hebrews asks this question. He says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." This morning, we are on the phrase, "stopped the mouths of lions." And it's an appropriate topic for Father's Day because the church in America, as I've pointed out Father's Day after Father's Day, is struggling with male attendance. We're blessed in this church to have the amount of men that we have in church. But there is an overall view in society today that if you are a follower of Christ as a male, that somehow you are a wimp. But I will tell you that it takes no effort or strength to go to a bar and get drunk. It takes no effort or strength to look at something inappropriate on the computer. It takes no effort or strength to run around on your spouse and break your marriage vows. All of those things are quite easy to do. Where it takes strength and takes courage is to stand for the Lord, to sit at your table and ask your family to pray, to read your Bible in front of your kids, to attend church on a regular basis, to deny yourself and live for Christ. That, my friends, is a powerful, godly man. And we need to stand for that, and we need to encourage more men to take a stand and attend church. And now we get to the topic of the day, which is Daniel, who is a very manly man because he stopped the mouths of lions. We're going to spend a lot of our time this morning in the sixth chapter of Daniel. And we find a story that is very familiar to us, and you probably learned it as a child, of Daniel in the lion's den. The centerpiece of the story is that Daniel was a praying man. He was habitual in his prayer. It was part of his daily habit. And you see that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where it says that he knelt down on his knees with his windows open three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. It wasn't a recent phenomenon in his life. It was something that he had done early on, where he was an active participant of prayer. It was part of his life. Every single day, three times a day, Daniel prayed. Now, I am a bluegrass fan. People, you either like bluegrass or you don't, but there is this great bluegrass song that I like that refers to Daniel's prayer life, and the title of the song is Daniel Prayed. A lot of people recorded this song, and it says, I heard about a man one day who wasted not his time away. He prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. He cared not for the things of man. He trusted one who would not fail. O Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. O Daniel served the living God while here upon this earth he trod. He prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. He cared not for the king's decree. He trusted God to set him free, and he prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. They cast him in the lion's den because he would not honor men. He prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. The jaws were locked, and it made him shout, and God soon got them safely out. Oh, Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. Now, brother, let us watch and pray like Daniel did from day to day. He prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. We too can gladly, daring, do the things that God will take us through. Oh, Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. Daniel was a person of prayer. And this habit that he had, and my friends, I will tell you, it is a habit that you have to cultivate in your life on a regular basis, where you say, I'm going to be a person of prayer. And you got to do it. And sometimes you're going to skip and you're going to forget, but you got to do it. Kathy and I decided that we were going to say specific prayers for our family every morning at the breakfast table. That's what we committed to. So we started out, and we'd forget. And then, oh, forgot to pray. Well, we'll pray tonight. And so we started doing that. So when we forgot, we'd just make it a habit. We were going to pray at the end of the day for those things that we pray about during that hour of breakfast. Guess what? It's a habit. Keep after it. You're not going to do it immediately, but I would encourage you to become a person of prayer. Pray consistently. That's what we're supposed to do, right? The Bible tells us, pray without what? Without ceasing. It's supposed to be a habit, and it was a habit for Daniel. And as it was a habit, it led to difficulty in his life. In chapter 6, we find Daniel serving under a new king. The old king had been defeated, and now he's serving under Darius. And Daniel is a governor of the kingdom, one of three. And he's successful, as he had been previously in his life. And everybody is jealous of Daniel's success. And they want to bring Daniel down. And if you look at verse 4, it says, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now remember, Daniel is a believer surrounded by a world of unbelievers. And so this is where they decided that they're going to trip Daniel up And in verse 6, it says that these governors and satraps thronged before the king and thus said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make him a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius, sign the written decree. Well, think about it. If you have been praying 3 times a day openly where people can see you, pray to your God, this created quite a difficulty for Daniel. He serves his God and he serves God openly. There's some lesson in that for us. Because, my friends, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should expect difficulty as you live out your life in faith. Look at the words of Jesus in Luke 21, starting in verse 10. It says, Then he, referring to Jesus, said to them, Nation will rise against nation. This is referring to the end of times. And kingdoms against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Doesn't sound like a great parking place to me, does it to you? See, if we live out our life by faith, every day's not a Friday, and you're not guaranteed the best parking place, and you're not guaranteed a full bank account, and you're not guaranteed health. But what Jesus Christ has told us is that we would face difficulty in exercising our faith. We should expect it. If you right now started praying like Daniel in your front yard 3 times a day, I guarantee you one of your neighbors is going to complain about it. Right? Because that's the world we live in. We live in a world that hates God. Don't believe me? Just think about what high schools not come under attack because people are praying at football games and people are praying at high school graduations. The world hates God. And the world will hate you if you void your belief in God. If you practice your faith. Oh, they might pat you on the back if you just have that cursory pronouncement or proclamation that you believe in God. But if you start getting preachy, they're going to tell you to mind your own business. You're going to face difficulty. And here, Daniel faced difficulty. Do we have an excuse or an out if we just say, well, that's not for me? Read the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, 27. Jesus says, Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hair of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have to stand up. We have to proclaim. And we should be more afraid of God than those who can cause us bodily harm. This was Daniel's life. There's a proclamation. That proclamation carried a horrible cost. And Daniel had this difficulty. What was he going to do? Well, turn back with me to Daniel chapter 6, and I want to look at verse 10 again, and it tells us the answer. And I love this. In verse 10 it says, "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed." So, when Daniel knew that the document was executed. Now remember, he's a governor. He knows all about this. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. In our modern day language, Daniel just said, "Bring it on." He continued to do what he always did. Now think about this. Daniel had position. He had power. He had influence. Now, he could have said, "Well, you know, the decree's for 30 days, and I'm a governor, and I've got a lot of influence here, and so I'm just going to ignore that for 30 days, and because I want to keep my influence, I'm going to rationalize my life that way. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my position. God doesn't want me to do that. God wouldn't ask me to suffer for him." It's what you hear today, isn't it? But he didn't do that. The decree was signed, and what did he do? He went home, opened up the windows, and got down on his knees, and he prayed. He made a decision. And the decision was that he was going to choose God. In our life as believers, we have to make decisions. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's about a choice, isn't it? Am I going to choose society and pleasure and comfort over God? Or am I going to openly choose to serve and stand for God? Now, as a man, that takes guts for you to say, "I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for God even though it may cost me." And that's what Daniel did. Daniel said, "I'm going to stand. I'm going to choose God." Well, his difficulty, his taking a stand, him making a decision, led to him being delivered. Go back to Daniel 6, and let's look at verse 13. "So they answered and said before the king, 'That Daniel.'" Can you hear it in their voice? "That Daniel." That's the guy they want to get rid of. "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah." Not only is it "that Daniel," but "that foreigner does not show due regard for you, O King, or the decree that you have signed that makes his petition 3 times a day? Not once, not twice, but 3. In verse 14 it reads, "And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.'" King's in a box. Doesn't want to punish Daniel, but he can't go against the decree. And in verse 16 it says, "So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.' Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lord, and the purpose concerning Daniel may not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?'" Now, paint a mental picture of that. The king is awake all night. He's troubled. He runs down to the lion's den. He cries out. And then look at verse 21. Can you imagine the king's response as he hears Daniel's voice from the den? Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. As we talk about living a life of faith in context to Hebrews chapter 11 with this story, you see that by faith that Daniel gave God the credit for the victory that he went through that night. Look at verse 22 again as Daniel responded to the king. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of lions. He gave God the credit. And as we celebrate Father's Day and celebrate the idea that we need to be godly men, part of being a godly man is where you can openly talk about God in your life and give God the credit in the public arena. I knew this elderly man. He was in his late 90s and he was a dedicated believer. He had his own company, and I know another gentleman that worked for him when he was younger. It was in an industry where foul language was used quite often. And he was walking through his shop one day, and there was this guy that was just cussing a blue streak. He was having a conversation with another man, and he stopped, and he looked at his employee, and he said, "As long as you work here, you will not use this language on this shop floor, because I'm a Christian." That's bold, isn't it? That takes guts. We're missing that. Church people have tried to determine why men don't come to church, and books have been written and all of these things, and you could fill a library on why men don't come to church, and men don't come to church for one simple reason: sin. Sin. See, you've got to make a choice. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? And when you serve self, you're serving sin. We got to take a stand. And we need godly men in church, and we need godly men who go out in the community and aren't ashamed to profess their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? If God can shut the mouth of a lion, He can surely keep you from being ridiculed beyond what you can handle. It's time for us to man up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And give God the credit. As I read this, I thought back to a verse that we've already read in Luke 21. When Jesus said in verse 12, "You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." And that's what happened to Daniel, right? But look at the reason in verse 13. "But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm from East Texas and sometimes do a little different things in East Texas, especially as I was a kid. And on Wednesday night, we had testimony time. And I've said that before, and I loved testimony time as a kid. I would hear adults stand up and they would say, "This is what God is doing in my life." Now, if you think about it, Jesus said here in Luke 21, He said, "It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Now, think about it. Testimony only happens when we live a life of faith. I've had somebody say, "Well, other than my salvation experience, I really don't have a testimony." Really? Because if you don't have a testimony of, "This is what I'm going through, this is what's going on in my life, and this is what I think that God's trying to teach me or say to me, or this is what God's done through me," you're not living a life of faith. It's not intellectual acknowledgement, it's walking with the Lord. And when we walk with the Lord in an environment of sin in our society, we have experiences along the way, and God uses those to mold us and shape us, and we're able to stand and say, "This is what God's doing in my life right now." It's a testimony. And every time people do that, it points to the fact that God is alive and He's well and He's working through us, which is what Scripture says He will do. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8, when Paul wrote Timothy, he said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Not ashamed. Why was Paul not ashamed? Because he knew that his life was according to the purposes of God. See, that's what happens when we walk with Him. And that's why Daniel said, "I'm not changing. I'm not changing. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to make a pronouncement for God." And God saw him through. That's an act of faith. And I guarantee you right now in your life, wherever you're at, if you will make a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ every single day, active in your faith, making a proclamation of your faith, letting God work through you, no matter what you encounter because of that, God will see you through. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank you for these wonderful, wonderful examples in your word. We thank you for the great example of Daniel, a godly man. I just pray for all of the men here this morning that we may be godly in our life. I pray that we would be like Paul, where we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we might proclaim it, we might live it, we might not shy away from it, but we would be bold in living a life for you. I pray that you would equip all of us in church for us to stand and to testify of a living God working through us. In Jesus' name, amen.